Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and MonroeGlobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
The kingdom power and principle of management. I read a report yesterday that they anticipate that by the end of 2009, 4.7 million people will be out of jobs in the West. They anticipate that by the end of December, 850,000 people will be out of jobs in the United States. The unemployment rate is about to hit 8%, which they've never had since the World War. I understand that the Bahamas is beginning to feel the real effects of the global economic crisis, and I can see it because I'm traveling, and it takes a while to sometimes hit home. I looked at some of the other figures. The European report is not exciting at all. The United Nations report that came out yesterday anticipate that people who were living on $1 a day will now jump from 2 million to 7 million. People living on $2 a day will jump from 3 million to 9 million, which means that poverty is expanding. I was also intrigued to find out that they still don't know whether the banks are going to be solvent. The experimentation that they're going through with how do you save the capitalistic institutions, they're still not sure what's going to happen. When leaders are guessing, the followers are in trouble. I understand that our Prime Minister is going to be making a national statement this week, which I think is very appropriate, to appraise the country of what is the status and what we can anticipate. Everything seems so gloomy. Everything is predicting crisis. But let me just say a couple of things about crisis. A crisis is an event over which you have no control. Write that down. What is a crisis? A crisis is an event over which you have no control. That's why it's a crisis. So the way you get rid of a crisis is you get the event under your control. That's why usually crises are experiences that you didn't prepare for, did not anticipate. And that's why they call crises. So the way you minimize crisis is to always be preparing for the unsuspected and expected. Write this down, please. Kingdom citizens are not immune to crisis. I think that's important to remember. Because you are living in God's kingdom doesn't isolate you from unexpected, uncontrollable events. So settle that in your mind. Number two, remember that the storm will hit everyone when it hits. You know, hurricanes don't go around believers' houses and hit other people's houses. Jesus made this very clear when he talks about those who build their house on his word. He says the storms rose and the winds blew and they hit both houses. And so crises affect everybody. But he did talk about the response of the two houses to the crisis. One of them crashed and the other one stood firm because of the foundation. Therefore, the point number three is important. Survival will depend on your foundation knowledge. Remember, he said, anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice will be like a man who built his house on a rock. And when the storms blow and the waves come and the water rise, that house stands firm. So it was not the storm that was the problem. It was the foundation that was the problem. If it wasn't the right foundation, then you have a problem. So crises are not problems. They're going to come. Problem is, what do you have to handle the crisis? That leads me to point number four. The key to that knowledge is management. Last week, I introduced this important point to you that God gave man management. Management is the key to prosperity in the middle of poverty. I want you to stop thinking like religious people and start thinking like kingdom people. Religious people look for miracles. They want God to take care of them without their effort. They are lazy. They want magic supply. They want immediate response from God. And if God delays, then they stop believing in Him. This religious spirit is a dangerous spirit. And it's very pervasive. We treat God not even like Santa Claus. Because even Santa Claus say you got to be good. We treat God like the genie in the bottle. Where we rub him three times, he comes out and he says, make three wishes. No. I put it to you, friends, that management is the key to prosperity in the middle of poverty. I'll leave you to point number six. Management is the key to promotion in crisis. Do you know that people are going to get promoted during the next few months? Some folks getting laid off, others going to be promoted. Watch. As a matter of fact, some folks will get more money now because they can take the jobs of half-hearted, half-lazy people who won't get fired. And they can take their responsibility and add some of their paycheck to the old paycheck. They're going to get more money. Because those who are good managers will be promoted. God doesn't promote you because you pray. Fasting doesn't bring promotion. Reading the word doesn't bring you promotion. Promotion is a result of management. Therefore, point number seven is critical. Management is the key to power in crisis. If you want to be the person with the controlling position in the midst of chaos, you must be the one who have been a good manager. You never want to lose a good manager. So if you've not been a good worker all these years, you must be nervous right now. If you've been coming late and they've been complaining about you and your file got some letters on it, you know you're nervous now. Because when they start cutting back, they're going to go for the ones who are the least valuable and the most problem. My job as senior pastor is to prepare you even for getting fired. Because your past is about to catch up with you. Now, we'll pray for you and ask God to help you and everything, and maybe even give you some storehouse food. But we can't stop what's coming down if you planted some bad seeds. Everybody say management. Say it loud. One more time. You know, I thought I would read this for you. God promised crisis. You know, we've been taught this funny idea that, you know, God is a good God. He only does things good. Good. God is good. And so God only does good things. I remember, I'll never forget, as a teenager, I was reading the Bible one day, and I saw this young, wealthy guy walked up to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, "Good master, I know you are a man sent from God." And before he could make the other statement, Jesus stopped him. Jesus, "Excuse me, why do you call me good? Now, wait a minute. If someone called you good, you should be nice and happy." Christ stopped him. "Why do you call me good?" Before he could answer, Christ answered. Christ says, "No man knows what good is, only God." I was a teenager when I got that key. Therefore, from that day forward, my definition of good was canceled. Because I don't know what good is. Only God knows what good is. Because see, what you think is good may not be good, and what you think is bad may be good in God's plan. So we find, for example, here's God prophesying crisis. God is making a promise to a whole country. Crisis is coming. And he tells the leader before it happens. Let's read Genesis 41. You might want to turn here. This is an important verse to underline and remember this in your Bible. Turn to your Bible. Genesis chapter 41. It's a story about a young man named Joe. You all know Joe. Joe was 17 years old when he began to make an impact. Not Joe the plumber. Is that what you're laughing at? I don't believe this. This is Joe the Prince of Egypt. By the way, Joe wasn't even a licensed plumber, so I ain't talking about that. He was parading as a plumber. Genesis 41, verse 42 says, "Then Joseph said to Pharaoh," watch carefully now, "the dreams of Pharaoh are one, and the same God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same in the dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterwards are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine." The word famine here means crisis. Write that down in your notes. Famine. Every time you see the word famine, it's talking about economic crisis. In those days, the economy was built on agriculture. So the worst thing for those countries was famine. Our country in the Bahamas is built on tourism. So the worst thing we could ever have is what affects travel. So we are in crisis because consumer confidence have fallen 0.3% again in the last 7 days, which means people are not spending money. Not good for us. So here God is prophesying there's going to be famine. Now, I have a question here. Who allows crisis? I want you to read this verse, because God says he allows crisis to test your management. Look at verse 32. Joseph says, "The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh," Pharaoh is the leader, the president of the country, the king. "The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon." Underline that verse. Look, there's going to be a crisis. Don't pray for it to go away. I ain't taking it away. I'm decided. God decides crisis. But let's fast and pray that it'll go over. God's not going over y'all. It's going to hit, and it's going to hit everybody. God is quite aware of the global economic confusion. He probably orchestrated it just to remind the capitalists that they are not capitalizing on anything. Our faith has been in our money, and God has made our money lose value. When your God is money and he devalues your money, he just devalued your God. Look at that verse again. He says the Lord not only showed it to you once, he showed it to you twice in case you try to change his mind. I'm not changing my mind. There will be crisis. There will be famine. I've decided, God says. We always blame the devil. Now, I want you to think about this, eh? God has a young guy named Joe. And Joe is fairly unknown. So God is about to create opportunity for him to get promoted. But he needs a crisis so the guy could show his management ability. If you don't believe me, read the next verse. This is very interesting. In the book of Genesis, chapter 41, verse 33. It says, and now, Joseph talking, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the crisis. You know, last week someone may have been insulted by what I said when I mentioned that there was a time not too long ago when the Bahamas was doing well. We had good money. And the question is, what did the leaders do with the money? Joseph says, look, take the good years and invest them and store them up. Because everything goes in cycles. Nothing is permanent. To everything there is a season. That means you got a good tourist season. I guarantee right behind that is a tough one. So you got to use the resources in the good season to back up yourself against the bad season. He says, so that you can what? Not be ruined by the crisis. Very important. Now, watch the response to Joseph. Chapter 20, 41, rather, verse 39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all of this known to you, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. You shall be in charge, promotion now, of my palace. And all my people are to submit to you and to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Is that a promotion? Is that a promotion? By the way, Joe is only 30 years old at this time. 30. He's getting promoted in the midst of crisis that's about to hit the country. Because he came up with a management plan. Look at the next verse. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his own finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He transferred all the authority of the country to this young man. He dressed him in a robe of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, make way, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. First of all, remember that Joseph is not even an Egyptian. He's a foreigner. Let me tell you something. If you're a good manager, it doesn't matter where you came from. I know it's a poor hand because some of you all got some problems. Let me tell you something. You say, well, why they bring them in? Well, it depends on how well you've been doing. Do you know, listen, I went to do a seminar at Atlantis some time ago. A whole day session. Some of you all here might have been in that seminar. And do you know, before I went down to do the seminar in the big meeting room there, I met with the general manager in a private meeting and two other people. Top people in Atlantis. And he said, we invited you to talk to the people because we're having some problems. The main problem he talked about was Tiefen. Tiefen. T-I-E-F-I-N-G. He said, we are losing so much chicken. Oh, you think it's funny? He says, pilfering is such a major issue here, he says. We know we bought in 3,000 chicken. We can only find 2,000. Where the chicken go? Chicken ain't got no wings. They dead. They can't fly. And these people, that's people's monies. And then we get mad when someone comes from outside and say, you know, let me let someone else watch my chicken. Joseph was a foreigner. It was management that promoted him. If you steal a paperclip, chicken ain't far away. You think I'm kidding? Once your conscience don't bother you with a paperclip, there are some companies right now in our country who are celebrating the crisis. They finally got an excuse. You fill in the blank. Yeah. He said, Joseph, I'm going to put you in charge of my whole country because you have a management plan. Now look at the next verse. This is good stuff, eh? Genesis 41, verse 46. Joseph was what? 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout the Egyptian land. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentiful tourism. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt, and he stored it up in cities, in which each city he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records. You should keep records, you see? He's recording every pound. It was beyond measure. What a manager. And that may sound simple, you know, but he had to convince people not to teach the grain. A lot of things going on there, you know. Who did this stranger come? Come on, tell us what to do with our grain. Hey! You see, that's why Pharaoh gave him the ring, because he knew his own people. They're from the Bahamas. How come you tell me what to do? I'm not, you ain't from here. You show his ring. We're going to store that grain over there. And take the stuff out of your pocket. The stuff out of your pocket, carry it over there. See? He had a... What's that, Pastor Rich? Put the chicken back. Yeah. Okay. Put the chicken back. Sometimes we hate when people come who are new. They break up our racket. Look straight. Look straight. Don't let nobody look at you. Look at straight. Yeah, that's why we like to have people who we know around us. Because everybody in on the thing, see? Yeah, that's why God brings new people in, like Joseph. To get management done, you need to have authority that's respected. One of our problems in the Bahamas and in the Caribbean alone is the spirit of entitlement. Well, I entitled to this. I've been in slavery long. Oh, shut up and manage. Well, you know, I was oppressed in my time. Oh, yeah? Where you get this spirit from? We get this strange idea that life owes something. But they pay me enough so I carry some of this chicken. They justify it. You work in the food store, stocking the shelves, but they ain't paying me enough so I carry some of this just to make up for what they should have been paying me. And you take the man's stuff out of the warehouse. Justifying evil. And God taking notes. Joseph said, we are going to save this. We're going to store it up. By the way, you know what's important in this verse? I have it underlined there. He stored up. Everybody say stored up. Let me tell you what's important to learn from that. God wants you to save. Write that down, please. But you know, my God is abundant. Abundant? You better save. People who have been disciplined and who have been careful with their resources and they have disciplined themselves to save it over a long period of time, those are the ones God give more to. You know, God used to bless you. You remember that? I can say it slow. God used to bless you. You want to know, you want to know why he stopped? He can't figure out what you did with the blessing. God have mercy on our souls. So, here's what I want you to remember. The principal key that God gave man was management. You manage, God promotes. You manage, God will protect you. You manage, God will prosper you. The foundation of kingdom life is management. The reason why God put you on earth was management. That's why God put you on earth. You know, I showed you this last time that the word manage begins with man. It's the age where man is responsible for God's resources. Manage simply means you are in charge of another person's resources. God gave man you dominion over the earth, which is management, and all humans are managers over God's property. God gave us rulership, not ownership. So we are always managers. And that means that in the kingdom of God, no one owns anything. Even those who claim to own, they don't own anything on the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. And so, no matter who claim to have what, God says, you are only a manager in my eyes, and I'm watching how you handle my resources. Accountability is the natural result of management. God will check to see if you can give an account of what he gave you. And that includes everything like time, relationships, money, investment, people, opportunities. How you manage everything, God's watching. You can mismanage friendships. You can mismanage your marriage. Effective management determines the amount of your resources. You can always tell who's a good manager. They keep attracting more. A good manager will attract more. A good manager will attract more. And so here is my reminders. What is management? Write this down. Those of you who are in business, you want to write this down twice. Management is the effective, efficient, correct, and timely use of another person's resources. And you do it for the purpose for which they were delegated with a view to producing the expected added value. Management, therefore, is the correct, efficient, and timely use of another person's resources, with a view to giving them a report in keeping with what they expected you to gain from the investment. Can I put it another way? A good manager always adds value to what was given to him or her. A good manager always adds value to what was given to her or him. A good manager always adds what? Value to what was delegated to them. That's management. Management is proven by value. You know, we began this ministry with nothing, 7 people. Today we worth over $10 million. I think God might kind of think I did okay. Now, if God give you $10, I wonder what he wants. Remember the guys who had the talents? 3 guys who had the talents. Remember the one who had the one? Yeah, the one. Yeah, he was from being down. He took that one and he buried it in the ground, the Bible says. And he said to himself, I got to keep this so I can give it back to the boss. Because I know the boss is a stingy fella. That's what he said. He says, and when the master came back, the one who had the 5 made it 10. The one who had the 4 made it 8. He said, but this guy who had the 1, he said, I had the 1. Now, listen to his response. First, he called him lazy and then wicked. Wickedness is not juju and boo-boo. Wickedness is when you mismanage any of God's resources. That's wickedness. Wickedness to God is when you take something that he gave you and it loses value. Now, Jesus said, and the master said unto the servant, at least you could have put it in the bank. That's in the Bible. And got interest. In other words, management has to do with at least add value. Even if you ain't working it, at least let it work for itself. Let me draw that home to you. I don't know who's going to lose their job in this church, but a whole lot of jobs are going to get lost. We can pray and fast and believe God, speak in tongues, and carry Bibles in our pockets. But let me tell you something, that storm is going to hit everybody. How valuable have you made yourself on your job? What kind of value do you bring to that department? How have you made yourself so valuable that you're the last person they think about getting rid of? God gave you the job. He gave you an opportunity. Have you added value to it? And adding value doesn't mean just showing up for work, you know. It means being creative on the job. Come with ideas to make the business grow because you are there. Come with ideas to make the department expand. Find some new ideas to bring more business. That's management in your area. You're the kind of person they don't want to get rid of. Some folks just come to collect a paycheck. Do you add value? I put it this way. Say this out loud with me, please. Go. God will not give you what you pray for, but what you can manage. Can you say it again, everybody? God will not give you what you pray for. He will give you what you can manage. Number 2, economize means to maximize the minimum. You're supposed to get the most out of the least. That's being economic. We got a bunch of land in Andrews. Ever since I was a little boy, I kept wondering why we got no big farms. Some of the best soil I ever saw is in Andros. And we still import 90% of what we eat. And I'm sitting there thinking, what's going on here? There's no dedication to maximizing the minimum we have. I want to encourage some of our young people here to ask God to not let you go and be no lawyer and no doctor. We ain't got no meaning no more of them. We need some farmers, some horticulturists, some people who can produce food. Let me tell you something. Those who produce food will become the most valuable people in the world the next 10 years. Because you cannot eat a computer, I guarantee you. Clap, man. Clap, 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 clap. You're going to go to college, study agriculture, agricultural science. you had a choice between gasoline and milk, I think you're going for the milk. You had a choice between a Palm Pilot and some food. You're going for the food. And that's where we're coming down to. We're coming down to that. We're coming down to whether we can have oil or we can have food. Let's think. Write this down, please. To get the most out of the least is economizing. When you add value to your gift, then God treats you as an attraction for resources. I made this statement years ago. I'll make it again. Answered prayer is regulated by your capacity to manage. No matter what you pray for, God ain't listening to your prayer. He watching whether you can manage it. He doesn't look at what you're asking for. He looks at what you're doing with what you have. And then that determines whether he should answer your prayer, because your prayer is regulated by your capacity to manage what you're asking for. And most of us, if we got our prayers answered, it would kill us. Could you imagine asking God, oh Lord, I need $1 million. $1 million would kill 90% of you in this room. If you drop that in your lap right now, that will last for 90 days. Straight to Miami, bam. Flagler Street, pew. Now some of you are sophisticated now. New York, right, go on, New York, bam. Yeah, it's just out of control. No management. I remember years ago, you know, when a Bahamian group became famous, and they hit, you know, one of their records hit, bam. Boy, next thing we saw a kind of Corvette. Now all them broke. They didn't understand management determines how God answers your prayer. God does not encourage waste. I'm coming down to the final point here tonight, this morning, because I want you to leave this place. In the next 3 or 4 weeks, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. But based on all the predictions, it's not going to be encouraging. But I want to encourage you today of what to do, like Joseph. You prepare for the crisis. First thing you must understand is that God hates waste. So start going through your house right now and check all your waste. I remember this story here. When Jesus fed the people bread and fish, we find this there. It says, so they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves, and then he gave them to the disciples to sit before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. But here's the part I thought was interesting. It says, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces. Jesus said, pick up every crumb. I don't know what you're going to do today when you go to lunch, but be careful what you leave in the plate. Amen. He hates waste. You're in a field with 5,000. He said, pick up every crumb. He was trying to teach them a lesson about management. Do you know where everything is in your finances? Where it went last month? Can you account for every penny? And if you account for it, did it make sense? Management. Pick up every crumb. It's a good time to have a rummage sale. A garage sale. You got a bunch of stuff. You sell them cheap. Collect some money and clean your house at the same time. That's management. It's good management. Management is defined as diligence with resources. Here's 2 verses of scripture I want you to remember. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. We dealt with that last week. The fact that God knows who has your wealth. Who has it? The sinner. Who gave it to him? God. Why? Because the sinner can manage it. That's a very, very terrible indictment on the believer. Proverbs 10:4 says, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. The word diligent there means management. Lazy hands make a man poor. Diligent hand brings a man wealth. Ain't no mystery about wealth. It's a product of management. Management means you keep that car for the next 3 years because you're trying to manage enough to get property. Because property and car are two different investments. Yeah, but your sister got a new car. Forget sister. Sister got a car but no house. You trying to get house. That takes discipline. Diligent hands. Sometimes even when you're renting, you got to check where you're renting. You might be renting out of your league. Let me say it slow. You might be renting out of your capacity because you're trying to impress some people. If you got a borrower to pay rent, you need a lot of help. And that's, don't take that personally, please. I want you to understand. That may simply mean you got to sit down with someone and let them go through. And don't get mad at me. No, don't get mad at people. You don't know what to do. See, that's why you mess up now. You wouldn't listen to advice. You only tell me that because you ain't got no problem. Listen to me. See, you don't want to tell me my story. I feel like telling you a piece of my story right now. I came from school and lived with my mother-in-law for 4 years in the same house with a wife and a child because we couldn't afford to pay no rent. We were trying to buy property. We kept a red car so long, the car said, have mercy on us. I remember going out, my wife laughing. I took that silver tape and taped up the bumper. I tell her, we ain't changing this car. Why? We got to get that property down there in Westwood Villas. We're going to get our own house. We're going to sleep with your mama. I got to my pride. You better go back home. Now I got my houses paid for. I got my car. I got three of them. You don't know what I went through to get what I got. It's management. Listen, don't try to be like me. It took me 30 years to be me. People get all uptight. You know who you are. Yeah, but you don't understand. Thank God for good mothers-in-law. Boy, she was a good mother-in-law. You know, I love my mother-in-law. She in heaven now. Bless you, mama. But boy, you know, I put my pride between my leg and I go. Now I got my house paid for. And you still renting, mad at me. Trying to impress everybody else and can't pay the rent. Everybody say management. You got to manage, man. Don't live above your means. You ain't got no one to impress. You try to impress people, you can depress yourself. Go ahead, clap, praise God. You get depressed. And the thing it is, half of the folks you're trying to impress, they depressed. They can't pay theirs either. And by the way, and I told you all last week, you know, the best company to keep is not with poor people. If you're poor and your friend's poor, boy, you're in big trouble. It says, a lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possession. That means I prize that red Datsun. People used to laugh at me, smoke. I go into Ministry of Education. But they didn't know, boy, I was paying for property in Westwood Villas. Oh, that's right. But I spent any money. $14,000 for one piece of property. Today it's worth $160,000 just for the property. But I had to manage, hold back, discipline, swallow my pride. Management. Some of you are going to have to make some changes in the next few weeks. That's why God sent your pastor to talk to you straight. See, someone got to tell you what you're doing, you can't afford right now. Step back, make some new decisions, get yourself back on level ground, and manage what you can manage. Because you can't pray your way out of this stuff. You got to manage your way out of this stuff. Proverbs 13:4 says, the sluggard craves and gets what? Nothing. Craves. That means the sluggard, the lazy fellow, always craving. Boy, I hit it big, you know, I hit it big, I got to hit it big. Hit it big. You broke. And they always got one plan, you know. Always, the sluggard always got a plan. The sluggard, they always got one idea. And they always broke. I avoid them. I can smell them a mile away. See the Bible? The Bible's so good. The Bible says what? The sluggard craves, want plenty, gets nothing. But it says what? The desires of the diligent, that means little by little, are fully satisfied. Proverbs 21 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to what? Poverty. You say, boy, you know, I hit it big. If anyone tells you it's that easy, it ain't true. I've never seen fast money in my life yet. There's no fast money in the world. And some of y'all playing numbers and all that good stuff. I rebuke that spirit of this church in the name of Jesus. I'm telling y'all right now, if I ever find out, make sure I don't, you can do it, make sure I don't find out. If I ever find out you playing numbers, I come into you. I can rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I expose you publicly. Look at that verse. You're supposed to plan your way to success. No quick money. I hear this guy on TV the other day talking about, you know, legalizing gambling for the Bahamians. I said to myself, he don't understand the whole principle that we're after. The principle is not the gambling. It's the weak fella sitting next to you who can't handle it. Take his whole mortgage payment. Mess his family up. We got to protect that guy against himself. And Bahamians, ooh, they need plenty of protection. Oh, they come to the church to fix it. Yeah, yeah. Lewis, I was one of the hosts. Yeah, the church bail him out, see? No quick money in life. You got to manage your life. All right, let me just close with a couple of thoughts here. Write this down. Luke, Jesus said, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his goods, and he called him and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot manage me any longer. He got fired. Jesus is speaking. And I like this. Look at the next verse. Verse 8. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted wisely, and he said, the people of this world seem to be more shrewd and wiser in dealing with their own resources than the people of light. I tell you, make friends with the world. Use worldly wealth to make friends. He says, make friends with wealthy people so that you will know how they do it. Now notice what he says here. He says the people are wiser in the world than the people of light. That's why they got the money. God don't give you money because you're saved. He gave you money because you can manage it. God have mercy on us. I like the way Jesus ends this story. He says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with what? Much. And whoever can be dishonest with little will be dishonest with what? Much. See? That paperclip and the chicken. That one envelope from the company will lead to a typewriter later you can carry home in your car. He says, if you can't be honest with the little... The poor chicken. People, let me tell you something. The reason why your parents would whoop you for stealing a threepence is because they know one day you're going to be a teller in the bank. And if you get away with a threepence, you start taking the people's money from the teller. If you are dishonest with little, he says, you'll be dishonest with much. If you mismanage little, you'll mismanage much. And then he says, if you are not worthy to handle worldly wealth, who will give you true riches? Oh, by the way, let me just explain it to you, because when I did the research of this particular statement in college, I was in Dr. Horner's class. The Greek there is very interesting. It actually means that if you are able to handle people's resources in the company, God will give you true riches. True riches means people. In other words, if you handle other people's departments well, he'll give you your own employees. You know, we always hear people say, well, I leave my job, I'm going to start my business. I'm going to leave my job, I'm going to start my business. My first question is, how well did you do on your job? Who tell you somebody want to work for you? You couldn't even go to work on time on the other man's job. How about your people skills? Did you learn them on the other man's job? The last part is one that always gets me. If you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Write this down. God will never begin with your own property. God will never begin with your own property. You have to earn the right to own property. That's why when you got married, you had to start renting. When you start your business, you had to start renting. When we started this ministry, we had to start renting. God, always see how you handle other people's property first. Some of y'all are renting right now and don't know that that's the will of God for you right now. God's got a plan for your own house, but read that verse carefully. He said, I'm watching how you handle the other man's property. If you treat the other man's property as if it's yours, then I'll give you your own. How often have I seen? And by the way, those of you who rent things to people, I know you know what I'm talking about. If you own apartments and you rent to people, Jesus Lord, you feel like you're selling it. You got some up here. I mean, it's just crazy. People treat, they just, you know, and that's why they're still renting. And they'll always be renting. It's a law. That ain't my tile. I ain't fixing that tile in the bathroom. Hey, wait a minute. You live in there. Your children in using the bathroom. Well, I know the landlord here, when he come back next week, I wait till he come back before he change his light bulb. What's wrong with you? God said if you can't be trusted with other people's light bulbs, who'll give you your own light bulbs? You know what's dangerous? Loan someone your car for 2 weeks while you're on vacation. Boy, that's a test. In the mud. This ain't my car. I ain't worried about that. And God's watching. That's why you're catching the jitney. You cannot be trusted with other people's car. God will make sure you always catch a jitney. Go to work tomorrow. Clean up around your desk. Or clean up around the place where you work. Treat it as if it's yours already. If you are a contractor, treat the place and house as if you're billing for yourself and your wife. Give them the nice, beautiful cut. Cut the wood right. Right, Doc? Take your time. If you treat it like it's yours, he says, I'll give you your own. Management. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord. Write this down. Tithing is God's management training program. God will watch how you manage resources by how you manage his tithe. God don't need no money. He don't need nothing from you. So there's another reason why he asks you for 10%. 10%, God can't use 10%. He owned the whole thing. But he's trying to check if you can manage putting aside something that ain't yours. Now remember, if you've been faithful over another man's property, he'll give you more property of your own. The tithe, for example, is not your property. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. So when I say tithe, don't think about money only, okay? It could be you got 10 pairs of shoes, only one of them don't belong to you. He could tell you, give that pair of shoes away. Tithing is God's management training. If you cannot stay consistent in disciplining yourself to always be faithful in paying what God says his, God says, I can't trust you with more. Tithing requires accountability. It requires discipline. It requires honesty. It requires diligence, faithfulness, trustworthiness. All of these make up management. I remember God telling the children of Israel in Malachi. He says, look, you guys are thiefing from me. They said, how are we thiefing from you? He says, in tithe and in offering. He said, you are eating my tithe. And then he says, if you would be faithful and start paying your tithes again, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. Then he says, and if you do that, the devourer will not come and take what you have and eat up your crops and destroy your vineyards. In other words, if you don't learn to manage, even by just tithing, I'm going to let the devourer take everything. You'll always have nothing. God doesn't want your money. You know, the hardest part of our ministry, as a pastor, I tell you now, is offering time. Boy, I tell you, it's a struggle. Because people think you really want their money. God's trying to do something deep. Do you know why we can't really give and pay tithes? Because we haven't managed our own resources. So we are so mismanaged, we can't afford to give God his own property. Why? We got that for toothpaste and for tomato paste. You know, God, I can catch you next week. I got to take care of the toothpaste for the kids. I got to buy some. See, because we're so mismanaged, we can't even give God what's his property. And then he says, if you mismanage my property, I'll make sure you never have any of your own. So you always got lack. Now, not having any of your own means whenever you get something, you borrowed it. So you're constantly going deeper and deeper in debt all the time. You got to borrow money just to live. So tithing protects you against the future crisis. I have 7 ways for you to manage crisis. Write this down, please, and we're going to pray. Number one, determine what your needs are first. I'm giving you advice to go through the next 12 months. First, if you're going to manage yourself, you have to decide what are your needs. Everybody say needs. Say it loud, please. A closing man. Say it loud. Needs means these ain't things you want. When you're in crisis, you got to know the distinction very quickly between what you want and what you need. Your wants will destroy you in crisis. I want to eat out for lunch. Yeah, but now it's crisis time. You need to carry lunch from home. I want to still go out for lunch with my friends every week. Yeah, but it's crisis time. You need to stay home and cook. What's the difference, eh? You want that dress in the window. Yeah, I know. But you don't need that dress in the window. You better know what to do right now. It's the difference. Number two. And this one is important. Only acquire what you need. Say it loud. Only acquire what you need. I'm talking to all my family here, please. I'm begging you to take these 7 points home with you. Only acquire what you need. You don't need
a new piece of property right now.
You can acquire that later when the, you know, now, if you're a good manager, you're probably in a good position to buy property. But if you've been a bad manager, you can't have no property right now. So don't walk around trying to impress nobody. You broke. And if you have money saved, keep it. Hold on to it like Joseph until the crisis hits. Let me tell you something. In crisis, you need liquid. That's for the bankers, okay? Let me say it again. In crisis, you need liquid. Hard assets don't make no sense in crisis. You need liquid. Liquid means you need cash in the bank. That means don't spend your cash. Everybody say it. Say it loud. One more time. I'm talking as a prophet. Say it again. Don't spend your cash. No matter what they tempt you with. No Miami trips. No Christmas shopping with that cash. And don't borrow no money to go for no Christmas. Tonight, I want you to ask God to give you a vision of what to give for gifts. Get some coconuts and paint them. Oh, you think I'm kidding? Let me tell you something. When you see February and March hit in the first quarter, there's going to be a whole lot of folks in this church screaming for help. Don't be foolish. Only acquire what you need. Listen, I got a big family. Most of them in here right now. I'm telling them right now, don't expect much from Papa. Why? Everybody got to manage. Don't impress nobody with no Christmas. Bake cakes, put their name on it. When I was in Bantown days, it was tough. We used to get them plastic bags. Boy, I tell you, things are tough when you're poor. Knapp and Juju and Coca Plump in a bag with a bowl. Right on. And you take your time and eat each one slow. Enjoy that Christmas. I remember one time my daddy, he ain't here this morning, where he is. My daddy, say, son, we can take Paul's bike, we can rewrap it for you. Paul is my brother. Rewrap my brother bike for me. That's Christmas. I was so glad. I said, finally get your bike. Yeah. Right, bike. That has arrived again. In other words, don't stress yourself and cause yourself to lose management. Joseph had to stop eating grain during the good time. Number three. Decide not to live beyond your ability. Everybody say decide. Say that loud. A little louder. Shake the roof. Come on, a little louder. That has to be a decision. That ain't gonna happen by itself. You gotta decide. Beginning this month, I will not extend myself beyond my ability. If I can't do it, I can't do it. This is crisis management. Number four, withdraw the unnecessary. Okay, you part of a club and you paying fees. Tell them I can withdraw for now. You in this group and they want you to get it. I withdraw for that for now. See, yeah, you know, you plan to go to the girls, but the girls go into Orlando shopping. You all do this every year. I withdrawing for now. You get a little issue, no, I withdraw for now. Why? You got to withdraw in crisis. You got to do like Joseph. You got to find a hole and put the wheat in the hole. It's okay to withdraw in crisis. Number five, delay major projects. You know, governments are doing it. Companies are doing it. You have to do it. You know, these major companies are amazing. They ain't got no feelings. They say things like this. Cut staff 35%. And then they walk out the boardroom. That's how you got to be in your personal life right now. They don't care who goes. They don't care how you did it. Just cut it 35%, they say. Because when you're in crisis, you can't have feelings. That's why Pharaoh gave Joseph that ring. He couldn't work on feelings. He had to work on authority. You have to delay major projects. I know you've been planning to build this house or build this a condominium or trying to do stuff. Back off for a minute and make sure you recount what your preservations are, your reservations are, because the market is doing crazy things and you want to be in a position of strength. You want to have liquid. Number six, value your possessions. I wish I had time to even talk about this one. You know, there's stuff you get that are very valuable, but you don't know they're valuable until you really think about it. Some of you got, for example, two cars. You only drive one. Well, it's a good time now. You know, that old car, you could sell it now and get some liquid. Put it in the bank. You got five pieces of property. All right. Maybe you can get one of them, you know, sell one. It's fine. You got possessions. You want to get some liquid. Sell one of them. Put it in cash in the bank. You want to have access to liquid. Value your possessions. You got a house with five rooms, only you want to live in there. Maybe you could extend for someone to come and move in and pay rent, but they can't afford rent somewhere else. Let them come live in one of them rooms, and they pay you. That room was dead. You sleep in a house with three bedrooms, they ain't giving you nothing. Now you can make them produce something. That's valuing your possessions. You got his truck? No problem. I know it's a nice truck. You got your big wheels on it and everything, but you broke. So turn this truck now into something that carries some things, a moving company. Value it. Turn it into money. Yeah, I'm going to scratch my truck. Scratch? You can lose the scratch and the truck. If you don't pay that note at the bank, you better turn that truck into asset that is liquid. Got to value your possessions. Is it making sense to you? The last one. And this one is a tough one for Bahamians. Save, conserve, and protect. Save is so tough. People come to me all the time, they say, I cannot save. And then they sip with me after about, you know, an hour, and they realize they could save. You could save. Some of you think you need money. You don't need money. You need management. People come to me for help, and I tell them, okay, go and see this person. Why? I want that person not to give them money. I want to give them some sense. They need some wisdom, some structure. They need management skills. Save. Conserve means turn the lights off. Only drive if you need to drive. If someone pick you up, tell them, come right along, pick me up. Save my gas. Hey, conserve. You used to buy $4 bread. You can't afford $4 bread no more. Go back to, you know, how much it is that there, brother? What's your least price bread? We can call it the saint's bread, huh? I can't hear you, Brother Ron. Huh? $2.89, but that's still up there in the Jesus' name. But that's the lowest one. That's what he's talking about. Yeah, that's the lowest one. Do you know why? Because the price of flour is so high for them. See? So they need to get that money back. So, you see, everything, someone say, bake your own bread. Yeah, that's a good idea. You bake your own bread. Yeah, bake your own bread. I can just imagine all these heavy breads coming to church. These heavy breads. Like lead. Everybody say conserve. Yes. Only use air condition where you need it. Turn the rest off. With all this cool air, open the window, shut it off. You buy fun. People laugh at this stuff. That's conserving. When you are in management mode and crisis mode, you have to conserve. The government's going to have to do it. And then protect. You have to protect what you have. The most important thing you have is your name. So you don't want to go running around borrowing money from everybody else and putting your name in danger. Because when it's all over, all you got is still your name. May the Lord give us wisdom. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you once again for listening to this message, as we hope that it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you new paths and opportunities so that you can discover your purpose. It is your love, support, and partnership that makes Monroe Global possible. Please visit us online at www.monroeglobal.com for more product, partnership, or to join us at one of our live events around the world.